for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to another episode of Wayne's Comics. This week, David Miller of David Miller Studios will be back, and he'll talk with me about developments in the recent Fantastic Four comics. I'll talk about unusual and strange things that are back in your comic store, and what I thought was great and not so great in this week's comics. So let's get to it. Again, this week is David Miller of David Miller Studios, creator of the Futurians comics recently, among other things, including Writer's Block, which is a great comic. David, I guess one of the things we can talk about this week is the news that Spider-Man is going to join the Fantastic Four, which is now the FF. What's your take on that?
Well, you remember last week I said that whatever Hickman does with that book, it should be interesting. And it really is, don't you think? The best thing about this is it's totally unexpected. I mean, you know, I thought when the torch died, it'd be like this morose, you know, mourning period, and we'd have like an individual chapter for each character to, you know, individually show how much they cared about the torch. To just go, you know, to shift gears so quickly and not miss a beat, it's very interesting. Unfortunately, like you, I've only read the solicitation material, so I only know what's being, you know, hyped. But that's the nice thing about Hickman, is that to my mind, he isn't just taking a paycheck and, you know, just taking the paycheck and selling his name, because I think he's a TV writer also, right? Mm. Even when he did things that I didn't agree with, I always thought it was good. I never thought it was crap. Mm. I can see why he's staying on that book.
Yeah. The news part that interests me is that this next issue that's coming out very shortly is going to be the last issue of Fantastic Four. It's going to be 588. That's where Spider-Man comes around and helps them to grieve. And then it's going to bump over into what's going to be called FF number one. And that's, it stands for Future Foundation, which I think Reed Richards is going to create. So there's some major changes he's got in mind for the Fantastic Four. I find that kind of interesting. The one thing you and I have talked about previously is that, you know, Marvel has a tendency whenever a significant number shows up, they tend to bump the book back to that number so that it would sell better. FF is going to start with number one, but as we mentioned, 588 is the last of Fantastic Four. When they get to what would be issue 600, will Marvel continue on with FF, or will they change the numbering to be number 600? What do you think they'll do?
I think your reasoning is sound, especially since to get up to number 600 is just 12 short issues, which is a year, which is a nice round number. Like, you have a year of Future Foundation, and then go back to Fantastic Four. But since you've like touched on the business of comics, as much as I like what Hickman's done with it, what I see with all the books really is symptomatic of when people started realizing, hey, if I create new stuff, I'm not going to own it. So as much as I like what Hickman's done, there's no new characters that have been invented. It's like taking existing characters and doing very interesting and entertaining things with them, or renaming them, like very much the Future Foundation is renaming Fantastic Four. It gives the illusion of creating new characters, but none are being created. It used to be in Fantastic Four, you know, every month was something new and something mind-blowing. It wasn't just new characters, but new concepts. And I really haven't seen anything really new that Hickman's done. Even the things he's done with New World is what Mark Millar came up with, or Miller, R. Do you understand what I'm kind of driving at, or am I sounding cynical?
No, it makes sense. The interesting thing that is going to change and actually be somewhat significant are their uniforms. They're going to be all wearing white uniforms. Spider-Man, instead of having a black costume and a red and blue costume, will now have a white costume. And the rest of the Fantastic Four are going to have white costumes with three symbols on them. Mr. Fantastic's going to have the top part's going to be white, and then the other two are going to the Thing and Mrs. Fantastic, as I like to call her, are going to have different symbols on there, just indicating they're different parts of a triad. This is the really significant change that's happening, besides Spidey being in the FF, which is, I think, another thing that's something a little different. What do you think about that? I mean, Spider-Man getting another costume, and the FF costume, you know, Burns' costume was always people's favorites, it seems like, except for the Kirby original one. Well, what do you think about that?
Well, to me, lately, costume changes have become such a tool and a ploy that they just like wash over me. I don't even feel them. These, however, at the very least, they're really nice designs, very different. And, you know, previously, whenever the FF would get a different uniform, it was really just a variation on the original. Mm-hmm. That's another reason why it washed over me. It's like, oh, you're just trying to make it different. This is a real change to their look. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, to my mind anyway, about rebranding, about making it clear that this is different. This is not your Fantastic Four that you're used to. And when they go back eventually, then that lets people know, okay, this is over, and now we're on to another chapter, maybe a chapter you're more familiar with, but to me, it's just all about branding. Just like, you know, we got this Spider-Man movie coming up, and I don't know if you've noticed in the stills, the uniform or the costume is subtly different. Mm-hmm. And because branding is interesting, you just want to make it very clear that this is not Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. So like when the DVD comes out, you don't go, oh, I already own this. No, you don't. This is the new movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the effort and the care that was put into making these costumes. It's really interesting, whereas before, like I said, the other changes would just be variations of the original.
Mm-hmm.
Despite my criticism, I think it's going to be very interesting and very fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other things that concerns me, too, I'm a big old Batman fan, but the truth of the matter is there's like 20 Batman books coming out in a month these days. And I worry about oversaturation that Batman will one day, if the balloon bursts and Batman has to go back to one comic, it's going to be a real hole in DC's budget. And I wonder the same thing about Spider-Man. You know, he's in the Avengers now. He's joining the Fantastic Four. He's friends with Wolverine. You know, he basically shows up all over the place. And do you think that Spider-Man might get oversaturated?
Only if he gets as saturated as much as Wolverine has. I mean, let's face it, this Spider-Man Future Force or Future Foundation, that's only going to last a year max. And then he'll just go back to like his Spider-Man books and appearances in the Avengers, and that might even peter out, so to speak. But, you know, you compare like Deadpool, which did like a lot of guest appearances and stuff. I think the guy to beat is still Wolverine. That's the one you got to worry about people suddenly not caring about anymore.
Mm. So you think this Future Foundation thing might only last a year?
It does seem like a round number. I mean, 12 issues will get you to 600.
Mm. Well, Captain America stayed dead for about 2 or 3 years, so I'm kind of figuring they're going to use Captain America as the template for all this. So I figure it would probably stay this way for about 2 or 3 years. And we'll see which one of us is right when as things develop.
Well, if I'm going to get really cynical, I'll say if they actually do recast a Fantastic Four movie, mm-hmm. I will say their return will be timed with the movie. if there's an announcement like in 2012,
mm-hmm.
if there's going to be a Fantastic Four movie, you can bet your bottom dollar they're going to be, you know, that they'll be back to the FF numbering and the traditional team.
Well, you did a great job of segueing into the next thing we want to talk about, and that is that this is a big year for superhero movies. During the Super Bowl, we got to see previews for Thor and Captain America and the Transformers. How do you think those are going to do this year in a superhero summer?
I have high expectations. Green Hornet probably did as well as I expected it to, but the other movies, and what I'm finding interesting about the other Marvel movies,
mm-hmm.
I would say recently there was like a prevailing wisdom that the only good Marvel movies would be the movies made by Marvel Studios,
mm-hmm.
like they had more control. But this X-Men First Class, while they're playing fast and loose with it, it seems like they're taking all the best stuff and throwing it at you a little better than X3 did.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is I feel the Marvel marketing machine has done its job well. I think Thor has the best chance of having a really great opening.
Mm-hmm.
Cap, I think, has a 50-50 chance. Green Lantern, I just can't forecast that. Mm-hmm. But like you said, there's like five really big name comic book inspired movies coming out, and they're all looking good. It's like, in fact, all the previous ones, starting from the first Batman, you know, up to the Fantastic Fours and the Spider-Mans, were like these testing grounds, and they finally wised up that don't do this stuff that makes the audience upset and makes them gripe. Just do what works.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling I get from the trailers, and we all know a trailer and a movie is two different things. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the Thor movie impresses me the most. When I see the trailers for it, you know, when they've got Asgard as this massively huge place, which was something we couldn't do for cost reasons, and now with CGI and things like that, we can make Asgard look like some incredibly big, godlike place, which, of course, it should be. And I think that's going to do real well. I heard over the past weekend that Captain America is not going to be called Captain America overseas. They're just going to call it the First Avenger, because they're afraid if they sell it in countries where America is not quite as popular as it might be, that if it says Captain America, nobody would turn out. So they're going to call it the First Avenger, which I find that a fascinating move. Transformers is going to be loud and big. I think the one that I hope really does well, but I'm partial, is Green Lantern. There's a friend of mine who does another podcast, and he went on and on about how this is the movie he's been spending his whole life waiting for. He's been a Green Lantern fan his whole existence, and now here comes the movie, and boy, it better be good. No pressure there.
You know, it's funny you should say that, because, you know, every character is someone's favorite character. Like, your friends like, God, I've been waiting for this Green Lantern movie my whole life. I've got, like, one of my best friends from childhood. He's been waiting for this Captain America movie. His whole life, right? He's a big Captain America fan. Mm-hmm. And you can, like, ride on the coattails of their enthusiasm. Even if Cap isn't your favorite character, you see your friend just enjoying it so much. You're like, I'm so glad for him that he's finally getting his wish, you know? And I hope one day it'll be a good Daredevil movie, and I can enjoy a good Daredevil movie. Or, like, a Fantastic Four film that was just a little better than Silver Surfer one.
Yeah.
But that was, there was three of us growing up, and I was like, one of my friends, he was the biggest Spider-Man fan ever. And one was the biggest Captain America fan. And I like Daredevil as far as the individual titles.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's all kind of all like ground level heroes. So I said, oh gosh, you get your good movies and I get Daredevil. Dan Affleck.
Mm-hmm. Affleck. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because, you know, Warner Brothers is trying to fill the Harry Potter sized hole with DC Comics characters. And I think that Disney is going to use Marvel to the same effect that they have. I mean, they've been doing a lot more theater movies than DC has. And even this summer, they've got two to DC's one. So it's an interesting thing to see develop. And I think we're going to see a lot more comics hit the big screens in live action films, which is a good thing. And not to take away from the animators. I love the little animators, but they're going basically direct to DVD. But I think we're going to see a lot more. And of course, with the Avengers movie coming before long, we're going to see a lot more of our favorite comics turn up on the big screen.
To segue a little, since you mentioned Disney and Disney owns Marvel,
mm-hmm.
I've even reading on the web, and there's like a rumor, you know, just kind of a meme, so to speak, that Disney's basically used every existing princess there is. And that there's another series of books that they might tap into next. I can't remember the name of it, like Driscoll or something. I'll have to look that up again.
Mm.
But the thought of like, okay, we've done every conceivable princess, you know, that's marketable, and now we've got that hole to fill, just like you're talking about the Harry Potter hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are finite properties.
Mm-hmm.
And thing is, you've always got to create this illusion of the new and the hot to make people buy it. Otherwise, they say, well, I've already kind of watched this story before.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I recently got to watch Tangled, which is based on Rapunzel and her story. And I was struck by how much that was like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, somebody who's kept up in a tower and doesn't get out together with people. And then she gets out into the real world and finds herself, you know, in a strange new world. And I just sat watching it going, boy, this is so much like Hunchback. But a lot of people like it. I mean, Tangled's doing very well. So. Yeah, I think, you know, whether or not there's anything really new under the sun, you know, it's how well it's done, I think, is going to make the difference.
You know, going, if I can swing back to the Thor, your comments about Thor.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that Thor also has going for is that all the other Marvel movies had to have this character through line or this character plot where You start off and you have a weakness in your character and you get superpowers, and those superpowers help you mend the weakness in your character. Thor's the only one that actually started out that way. Although it was backloaded in the continuity, like he was, you know, he was brave and he was strong and he was a good warrior, but he had no humility. So Odin, you know, threw him down to Earth as a crippled mortal to teach him, you know, things could be worse. And then he gets his power back. So this is like the one that actually is like this character through line that Hollywood loves. You know, if you did like a, I read this off of Eric Larson's blog one time. If you were to just do adaptations of the comic stories, they would just be these meandering adventures, and wouldn't like hold together as a movie. I don't know if I quite agree with that, especially considering with the Spider-Man stuff. But I see what he's saying. So.
Yeah. Anything else you want to bring up to today while we're talking about comics and comics-related things?
I went to a swap meet today with a bargain bin prices, 50-cent comics, so I'm just really hyped up. I just read for this, bought a bunch of comics at a, basically at a convention, and I'm just, you know, riding high on knowing I'm going to sit down and read a stack.
The smell of ink and paper.
All I'm saying is my website is futurians.avatar.com, and that's all I'll say for now.
Okay. Well, thanks, David. We'll talk with you again sometime soon.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me, bud.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands. And now, another exciting episode.
Now let's talk about this week's comics. The hit of the week, the best of the whole week, it has to be Hotwire Deep Cut number 3 of 3 by Steve Pugh. I'm a huge fan of that comic. The conclusion came out this week, and I'm very happy with it. It wraps up the miniseries quite well. The art is stupendous. Story is really interesting. Very good sci-fi story. So don't miss Hotwire Deep Cut, as I mentioned last week. The second one, of course, is Atomic Robo, with a Red 5 comic that I've come to really adore. You should be reading it too. It is, as much as I enjoy fun television, I enjoy a fun comic. And Atomic Robo, The Deadly Art of Science, number 3 of 5, is out, which is great. Mr. Cornell has another Knight and Squire out this week, which is a great edition, talking about the British Joker. You're going to want to see the big surprise as it gets towards the end. A lot of DC Prelude type books are out. The Road to Flashpoint, which is in Flash number 9, is out, and also the Prelude to the War of the Green Lanterns is in Green Lantern Emerald Warriors number 7. Mr. Jeff Johns is up to no good with that, I'm sure. Those are more events we're going to have to buy, which I'm not complaining. I love the stuff. Also, Batman and Robin has finally gotten its new ongoing creative team, Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason. They started off with an interesting storyline, so I think people will like it. But last and certainly not least is Thunder Agents number 4, which has Nick Spencer, who is as a writer, is really blossoming and really getting people's attention with books like Morning Glories. He's doing a very Watchmen-esque kind of thing on Thunder Agents, and it's really good. I think that you should be buying it. I would highly recommend it. It does some interesting things. He's just getting started with the storyline, so don't expect a huge amount of things to happen. But he's definitely setting up something good, so I would definitely recommend Thunder Agents number 4. And the bust of the week. The latest Superman comic has come out with Mr. Straczynski's fingerprints all over it, and it's still not very good. I'm going to look forward to when he gets done walking around and actually starts going back to being a hero. So that's the look at comics this week. I also wanted to talk a little bit this week about a video that I got a chance to look at. If you go to YouTube and type in the word Superman Classic, you'll get a very short video done by a Disney animator by the name of Rob Pratt. He's doing a Superman animated short, and I really mean short this time. It's not very long. Can't be more than a couple minutes long at the most. But the thing that he's doing is he's taking the old music from the classic Supermans from the Max Fleischer series way back when, and he's sort of adding a new animation to it. And it's a really, really good little short. I would really like for them to be able to turn that into some kind of a longer Superman film. It's interesting to me because he works for Disney, which, of course, owns Marvel. And yet he's doing a DC character, which is Superman. If you get a chance to watch it and you get to the back, you will notice something interesting. Right behind his head, up to the left, in the very back, is a maquette, as they like to call it, which is a small statue. And it's Superman, but it's a maquette of Superman from the animated series that Bruce Timm did. I happen to know that because I happen to own that maquette myself. So it's a really good little short. Again, go to YouTube and put Superman Classic in there, and you'll get a really good treat, a visual treat for the eyes. It's literally about a minute long. It won't take long out of your day, but let me tell you something. If you're a Superman fan, you're really going to like it.
Radioactive robot lizard,
but with horn-rimmed glasses and a pocket protector.
That's nerdy. We're on the rampage, laying waste to the geek landscape.
We'll talk movies, TV, comics, toys, video games.
And sometimes we talk turkey.
Don't you mean chicken?
That's right. So check us out at Megapodzilla.com.
We're also available on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace.
Aw, yeah.
And now I want to talk about the strange and wonderful things that have just arrived in your local comics shop. The first thing I want to mention is that there's a new Batman t-shirt. If you don't happen to have enough Batman shirts, and who has enough, by the way, the Batman symbol number 4 is a new one that's come out. And there's also the Hot Wheels basic car set. A lot of collectors I know collect the Hot Wheels basic cars, so often they only cost about $1 each, so it's something that's almost affordable. So I think that's a good thing to look for. The Twilight Saga Deluxe Scene DVD game is out. We have a tradition in our local Star Trek club that whenever we get together on New Year's Eve, we play the Star Trek Scenic game. And it's a lot of fun, to be frank. We sit there and sort of just put it on, run the questions, and we try to answer them. And we try to shout out the answer first, which is kind of fun. So if you're into Twilight, I don't happen to be, but if you are, then maybe that's something you'd be interested in getting. There's a couple of other things. There's a bunch of Captain America etched glass stein and an accompanying pint glass set of 2. And I noticed not only do they have that for Captain America, but they have it for Iron Man and they have it for Spider-Man as well. I don't know why you'd want an etched glass stein. I would rather take that money and buy a couple more comics than to buy a stein. But I guess somebody out there wants it because they're making them. Also, the Doctor Who fans will be glad to know that your wardrobe is about to be enhanced because the Doctor Who logo black sweatshirt is out. It's only a measly $50. And then there's also a series of Doctor Who shirts that say trust me on them. So those are out there, and those are only about $20, so those are more likely to be buyable. The last thing I want to mention is there are a series of trading card sets, and they seem to be focusing on Legends of the Star Trek era. There's 3 different ones that are coming out. One from Voyager is Harry Kim, one from DS9 is Odo, and the last one is Tucker from Enterprise. So all these great and wonderful things are at your local store besides the comics. So if you want to get yourself together and get over there, there's lots more than just books to buy. We'll be right back. And that's a wrap for another episode of Wayne's Comics. In future episodes, we'll have other people in to talk about comics. Appreciate Mr. Miller. He's going to be on a semi-regular basis. I want to talk with some other folks from comic stores and some other comics creators so we can get some more insights from different perspectives. But you will be hearing some more voices talking about comics and giving their perspectives. But until then, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.